Hey, Peter, how was your sandwich today?
That's the new name of the podcast. I've had many sandwiches. I've had more sandwiches than I've had runs in the last week. That's true.
You had the runs this week?
Oh, don't work blue, Brian.
Okay.
No one wants that. No one's. The people at iTunes will kick us out. So we're on iTunes now.
Runner's greatest fear. Yeah, we are on iTunes. Thank you for subscribing if you've subscribed.
Thank you.
Apparently, two people listened 50 times because we had 100 listens.
100 downloads.
You know, we actually have a listener question. Karen asks,
hi, Karen.
Peter, can you please explain to all you know, or to all who know you, how did you start running in the first place?
Well,
that's a very interesting
question.
That's
a very valid question, because if you know me slightly, even by reputation, I am lethargic. I'm large, in charge, and kind of sedentary.
Yeah.
So how did that happen? That's a great question. Well, the short story is about 18 months ago, I was involved in a, just for fun and for a little bit of charity, a weight loss Biggest Loser thing. And I was trying to drop a good 30, 40, 50 pounds.
That's right.
And I dropped about 25. And then part of what I was doing to try to sort of accelerate that was running. And that running was something I had done way back when I was a teenager because I was on the cross country team and all that in high school. But I wasn't good, Brian. I wasn't good at all. In fact, I was the kid, the coach, Coach Priolo, would shout, Pete, on your way in, pick up the cones.
Okay, that would be always the last.
That would be during. That'd be during a meet. No, seriously, it'd be about 32, 33 minutes in, and they would. Oh yeah, pick them up on the way in.
Okay, get the cones, and we're all having Italian ice.
Yeah. So it's like 3 miles was like the most I'd ever done. Maybe in a practice when I was 18, 17 or 18, I did like four.
Oh, this
or five.
Was high school.
This was high school. This was high school. When you could argue that maybe I was at my physical peak, right?
Weren't we all?
So sorry, getting back to it. So about 18 months ago, I started doing this thing where I started to run more, and you and I got to talking because we work in close proximity to one another, and you were a runner casually, and you know.
Yeah.
And
I'd done a couple of half marathons at that point.
Right.
I had worked up from the painful 1 mile out of necessity and to an occasional 5K where I was regularly passed by what I thought were overweight, middle-aged people pushing baby running carriages. And I'm huffing and puffing and watching these people pass me by. Now, of course, I realized that I was overweight and middle-aged as well. But you never look at yourself that way.
No, nor should you.
No. And so all the baby strollers would pass me by, and I said, all right, maybe distance is my thing. So I picked up a half marathon for the heck of it, because one time I was doing a 3 mile loop and I said, it's a gorgeous evening out. What if I just did this again? And I did it again.
Right.
And I had this realization that wasn't harder. It just took longer.
It's just time.
And I did 6 miles instead of three. And that was, I couldn't actually believe it. And then around the same year, I did 10, just I was out for a run and it was a nice day out and I didn't want to stop, and then I realized I had run 10 miles. I said, well, I could do a half marathon, perhaps.
Yeah.
Then the training began. That was probably 4 years ago, I would say.
And I would say, because I'm relatively new to it, the thing that I experienced last summer, as we started to do longer runs, 5, 6, 7, 8 mile runs, is that sweet spot really doesn't start happening till mile 4 or 5.
Yeah.
And if you only run 2 or 3, and I know a lot of people who only go out for 2 or 3 mile runs, and they always say every single time it's terrible.
Right.
They do it because they're disciplined and they want to, you know, stay in it. But the secret sauce, really, I think, is you got to push through, get to mile 4, get to mile 5. And it's now you're talking time. Now you're talking about an hour, given your speed, what do you know? Yeah. That's where it starts to happen and you start to feel good about it.
I never hit my stride earlier than 4 miles.
That's right. That's
right. It's weird.
And I, since we sort of tapered off because we had our last half now last month, I fell into sort of a gully of only 3 or so miles.
Right. So you never hit your stride.
Right. So to answer the question, how was your run?
Yeah.
I had a great 5 miler on Sunday. It was my first one in a month.
Wow.
And it reinforces that thing about go longer. You'll feel
better. And you said it was good. You didn't have to pick up the cones afterwards?
There were, That's the beauty of being an adult now.
No cones.
No cones.
The reason I started running distances was because I blew my left knee out to shreds. So I had the unhappy triad, which is ACL, MCL, and meniscus tear.
I can't even, look at you.
It
right
was
now.
March, and I was playing Ultimate Frisbee, and I overextended and stepped in a full stride, overextended my left leg, and hit a watery sort of mud puddle.
No.
And that just bent my knee the wrong way. And it was all done there.
Ah!
So a lot of people have had that surgery, and you get over it. But the only thing that I could do after about, I don't remember what it was, 4 months, 5 months?
Yeah.
You can only run in a straight line. You know, you have to wear this big cast or this big brace. And once you can start to move around.
But you can't pivot with your knee or anything.
No, you can't. You can't pivot. And I'll tell you this funny story. I was rehabbing, and I got on the treadmill. For the first time, you know, we would do it in physical therapy, but it was now, okay, go run a quarter mile.
Sure.
And I got on the treadmill, and I put it on, you know, very slow setting, just barely above a walk. And I have my knee brace on, and I'm going, and I'm like, this actually feels pretty good. And, you know, a quarter mile is 0.25 miles, and I look down, and I see 0.1. And I said, that took no time at all. I'm going to be able to do a quarter mile easily. And I start feeling a little tired and sweating, and it comes up to 0.2, and I said, oh, I'm going to make it. Then I realized it was actually 0.02.
Nice.
I had gone 1/100th of a mile, 2/100ths of a mile.
But boy, it was quality, though.
It was easy.
It was quality run.
So that first quarter mile was difficult. And I don't know what made me stick with it, but at least you could see progress. You know, every week I could go a little further.
Yeah.
And that was it, and I've just stuck with it.
How?
Well, and then we both got talked into the marathon. You were in the middle of your Biggest Loser event, and then we got talked into the marathon. So you went from not even doing a 5K.
Yeah, if you look back at...
You went straight to half marathon.
Logged everything, and that would be, if we are going to offer any kind of advice in this podcast, which I don't think we're qualified to do. Be honest with me. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I don't think... I mean, I guess just from experience a little bit, but okay. Here's what my advice
is. Now that your full beard has grown back, you at least look believable.
God. I'm on day 10 of the beard. Thank God.
You look more trustworthy.
I do. So here's what I would say. I would say you definitely have to log every run you ever do.
Yeah.
As silly as that is, whether it's in paper form or online, I personally use the free version of Map My Run just to log it so I have a place to go in the cloud and check it.
Right.
But if you go back and look at April of last year, 2014, I was not running.
That's right.
Didn't do anything. In May of 14, I think I do like 50-odd miles, 60 miles.
Oh, wow.
And then from there, it just kept going up because we started to get serious about... we signed up for a half marathon in last November.
Right.
But we signed up in like August.
Yeah.
That's a thing to do. Give yourself like a goal, a destination. Whether you actually go and do the run or not, start training for that race. And I'm not a big race guy. Again, sort of the... I had a little trauma from high school, so I'm not really competitive like that. But I did want to try this thing. And of course, the most important thing we could probably tell people is to read. There's only one book people need to read.
That's I agree with that. There's a lot of books. I have four of them staring at me right now.
But there's only one really important one.
Yeah.
And that would be The Marathon Method.
By Tom Holland.
By Mr. Tom Holland.
That's right.
That's real.
Yeah.
That's we are no joke now.
Yep.
I don't mean to be too serious here in the podcast, but
all the training plans that everybody will ever give you are all pretty much the same, but the advice differs, and the way that it's presented in Tom's book is really—it's straightforward, it's personal, but it's really down to earth.
Eminently readable and accessible,
and very readable.
Yeah. So I would highly recommend that. And in there, he gives you the schedule and everything that you need to follow. And all you got to do is follow it. Now, interestingly, I've done a little survey of our audience. We have a very divided, both our moms.
That's right.
We have a very divided audience. There's a set
yeah.
that actually do want
yeah.
to hear this kind of discussion
okay.
about running.
Yeah, okay.
Then there's the other part that think, wait, I don't really care about running. Why would I ever listen to anything about running?
Yeah.
Just talk.
Right.
Because I'm busy driving in a commute or I'm uh-huh. you know, on the subway.
Uh-huh.
So I think
that's a short commute if you're listening to our podcast.
Right. So I tend to walk to work.
Yeah. Well, you live in the neighborhood.
I do. I live down the road. Mm-hmm. And when I walk in, sometimes I see some interesting things, and I thought you would enjoy this.
Yeah.
So I'm walking to work the other day, and it's a beautiful day out. And I watch a woman, and I'm going to say she's 24, maybe 25.
Okay.
And she's biking.
Okay.
Uphill.
Yeah. Got the picture.
And while I do applaud her decision for the modal shift for commuting,
okay.
she was vaping. while she was going uphill on a bike. I don't understand anything I'm seeing anymore.
I love the guys who are riding bicycles
yeah.
and no helmet on to incoming traffic texting.
They're fine. They never get hurt. They never get hurt. Yeah, she was going uphill. Right side of the road,
yeah.
helmet on,
yeah,
so she was safety conscious.
Well, you know what? When you're 24, you need to put hurdles in front of yourself because you are really unstoppable at that point. And, you know, if right. it's too easy, you know.
Well, you can't relate to anyone.
Give yourself a
yeah.
challenge.
You need to strap the boulder
you know,
on.
If you're able to pedal uphill first thing in the morning with no problem, well, you know, ruin your lungs and challenge yourself right. for crying out loud. Take it down a notch.
Not unlike...
Go get the cones, Pete.
It's not unlike when I first started running and I was running with like cheesesteaks in my hand. Just to... Because I thought that's what you had to do.
That was your just dessert?
That was my goal.
That was your... That was your fueling?
That was my fuel.
That was interesting when we started seriously discussing fueling while running, which I always thought was... ridiculous. I thought it was just, oh, here, you know, running can be incredibly inexpensive. And so I thought fueling was just, well, you know, runners have spare change in their pockets. Let's get to it. And then I bonked a few times. And bonking
is
you run. What used to happen is I would run for 6 miles or so, right? So about an hour or even a longer run. And on those runs, very predictably, at about 50, 55 minutes, I would start getting cold. If it was, you know, if
yep.
it was below 50 out, I would start getting strangely cold, really tired. My legs would feel like lead, mm-hmm. and I would be kind of out of it, actually. Mm-hmm. And I just figured, well, I'm just not built for this. And then I came back to, oh, well, maybe I need to fuel. And I used to do granola bars and things because I still thought, oh, these gels are... ridiculousness, and I would eat a half a granola bar at 45 minutes, and I could keep going.
Yeah,
and I could run for an hour and a half. All of a sudden, oh, okay. So there is something to this. And then I ran, I don't know, my third half marathon,
mm-hmm.
and I had the granola bar, and I was pushing it. I was really trying to do well, and I got to halfway or 45 minutes, and I put the granola bar in my mouth, and it tasted like a handful of sand, and I couldn't chew it.
Yeah, chewing's hard.
I maybe got a couple of morsels down. It was awful. I threw half of it on somebody's lawn. And that is actually the one reason to do races, because you can litter legally. And
it's
people,
the best.
You say sorry, and people are like, "Oh no! That's keep going, yay!" And you're like, "Ha ha! I littered. It's like the 70s. It's awesome. I don't care."
Oh, I spit on people. Right? It's so good.
Hey, it's a road race. Anything goes.
I did an 8-miler trying to eat an apple. And there's something about your body conserving its energy for only the purpose that the thing that it's doing.
Yeah, chewing
and,
is
yeah,
not
masticating
on the list.
Is not high on the list. Because
no.
you can barely function
right.
above the neck anyway.
Right.
So, yeah. The I will say the goos are nasty. I think they're all disgusting. Some are fruity, some are more salty.
You don't
salty.
Look forward to it.
You
it's
don't look forward to it. But
a way to pass the time.
But... as you know, and as anyone who's done any kind of goo during a longer run,
yeah.
you do feel it almost instantly,
oh, yeah.
the recharge.
Yeah, you say, oh, yeah, this is why I'm out here.
And in a similar way, but not as powerful, the Gatorade thing versus water,
mm-hmm.
which is crazy. But it does work.
It does work. Yeah, I find that if I'm doing a race, I'll have water at the first stop, and then I'll pretty much go Gatorade the rest of the time until you start getting that full feeling.
Yeah.
And then you say, okay, I got to switch back to water. But you realize, oh, you really have to expend a lot of energy before you actually need any of that stuff.
That's right.
You know, if you're going to go for a 4 or 5 mile run, you don't need
You don't really need it. You need it.
Anything
after like 45, 50, 55 yeah. minutes, that's real.
Yeah.
That's real. All right. Well, this has been really chuck full of running talk.
Yeah, there's way too much running
talk. We're going to notice, I think,
did you, big
when
drop
we look
off.
When we look at the analytics over the weekend, I'm going to guess
yeah.
that it's you and me.
Yeah.
And
Karen, our listener.
Karen will only listen up to the part where she hears her name and then turn it off. But that's okay. And as we talked about the other day,
mm-hmm.
My personal challenge to me
yeah.
for November, do you remember? Was it 60?
Yeah, I think it was 60.
I thought I said 16. Did I say 60 miles in November?
You did, and the clock's ticking.
I'm up around 20 right now, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And here we are in the second week of November. I think I could make it.
3 more weeks.
Yeah, 2.5
40
because
miles.
The holiday's in there. Because that's not going to happen.
Well, you're going to run twice on Thanksgiving.
Right. I'm going to every destination I'm going to right. on Thanksgiving, I'm going to run.
That's not a bad idea.
No, it's not going to happen.
What's in the spring? Washington?
There's a bunch.
Chicago?
There's
I
a
know.
Bunch. The ones that are on my short list of things I'd like to try to accomplish would be, of course, the New York Marathon, because I lived there
wow.
for so long.
Wow.
I would love to do that. You run through all 5 boroughs,
yeah.
but you're guaranteed, because it's the first weekend in November,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be cold. It's going to be cold.
No.
It was cold just the other day.
Although we had 75.
But not that day.
That day was
invariably
chilly.
It's very chilly.
Okay.
And the weather can or cannot be great.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear the Marine Corps one in D.C. is a sweet, sweet course.
That's what I hear, too.
And a fun one.
Yeah. I think, and some people may dispute this, but I think that once you start traveling for quote-unquote destination marathons,
yeah,
it's a sign of mental illness.
Yeah, you're crazy, and you're probably a way better runner than
and
either
probably,
of us.
Yeah,
I'm really. I'm going to hazard a guess that you're really good at it.
Probably a lot faster,
an awful lot
thinner.
Oh God,
a lot stronger, and you've probably been interviewed by several sports magazines. All right, Pete.
Yeah.
Have a good run this week.
All right, then.
Bye.